This show has been brought to you by AutoApp. It's a one-stop app that takes care of all your car needs. I'm Sheldon Trollope. Yeah, as a motoring journalist for 20 years, people would have heard of me. Of course, my co-host, Joel Tam.
Every single car.
Huh? And the other co-host, my colleague, Jonathan Lim. Feel free to vent your true feelings about Supercar of Blondie.
Oh, that's a dangerous thing to say, right?
That's why we are here, John. Idris Talib used to be a motoring journalist, and then he's gone over to the dark side.
Aiyah, you don't be so serious, man.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Podcast. Today we've got we've taken a bit of a long break. It's been about, 2-3 weeks since our last recording with our friends from BMW and Mini. And I think we've been back. So, Idris, welcome back. I think you've been on a little vacation.
Yeah, vacation and then also reservist, which is not really a vacation.
Not really, yeah. Thank you for your service.
Yeah. You're very welcome.
And, and then John as well has been busy. Speaking of John, congratulations, by the way, victory at Expo for the Audi KF1 Expo for the
karting championship.
For the Audi really media kart challenge, I guess. Where you beat out basically everyone from the motoring industry, and it was there were some pretty fast guys up there as well. So it's not just some kelong. They had like three groups of
12,
12 which kind of eventually had to compete, and they took the fastest time from these 36 guys. And our friend scored the pole, with the fastest time of the day, and he led from lights to flag, as they say. And talk me through the race build up.
It was a bit kind of like you go on there and then there's a race to do, but I hadn't been to an expo before, so it's like learning everything from
humble brag.
So it's a good track though.
My first time.
I got pulled and pulled in.
It doesn't take that long to learn, right?
Oh, okay. Well, another humble brag. When will this end?
I would say that expo overall, I feel it suits the go-karts that we have in Singapore more than the other tracks at like Kranji and Jurong.
What is that?
Because the karts in Singapore are speed limited to 50 kmh, and you reach that speed limit quite fast, and it's very boring. You'll be spending 2/3 of the street not accelerating. Whereas Expo is so small and so tight that you never reach top speed, so you're always busy doing something. You're never just left waiting for the corner to arrive.
Okay.
I think, because it's quite a new track, it's a bit slippery in places. I imagine it'll be quite fun in the wet, actually, because it's, there's a bit of mud here and there. And it make it very interesting for...
I noticed one of the corners also, there's a bit of a gradient as well, which I didn't expect. It wasn't as flat, although it's actually designed on a parking lot.
Yeah, in the corner.
But it does have some gradients here and there.
Yeah, they built a bit of camber into some of the corners. It's quite a nice challenge. It's quite technical. Maybe not the best for racing because it's very tight. So if you have people who are less spatially aware or... aren't really brave enough to do a lunge on the brakes, then it's a bit tight, very difficult to overtake. But because everyone is either accelerating or braking, there are no points at which, like in Kranji, where you're just holding station the same distance because of the speed limit.
Okay.
So you can create opportunities a little bit more easily.
So what was going through your mind when you were leading the field? Because there are a lot of guys sort of hot on your heels and pushing, and it's hard to lead from the front because you can't see. The hard part about leading from the front is that you can't see how close the next guy is behind you and that kind of thing, right? Whereas if you're following the leader, you have a target there and you can kind of follow his lines or try to do something different, right?
From the front, when the flag dropped.
Right.
With these kind of rental cards, some cards are always more equal than the others.
Yeah.
So at the front, I was aware that Julian, who was in third place, so directly behind me, had more of the faster cards. So I think he would be a challenge because Julian is one of the other. Well, he finished third eventually, but his pace was good enough for second. Mm. So he would have been a challenge. But I was just thinking of like, okay, first few corners, stick to the inside. Don't give people a chance to make a lunge. Just block the road and hope that all the rest of the midfield action kind of takes everyone out. I think halfway through the first lap, Julian had cleared the rest, and he was like really, really like harrying me. Like every of the happy.
He was like, pressing you,
Yeah, physically. He was using me as his breaking assistance.
Okay. Oh, you could feel him tapping. You could feel him tapping.
This is like a common go kart tactic, like it's like you can't bump the person.
Right.
Compromise his line a bit.
Speaking of bumping, don't bump the table. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. Keep your hands on your lap.
Then after, I think by the end of the first lap or maybe halfway through the second lap, I realized, no more bumping anymore. And you mentioned the not being able to tell where everyone is, right? You still kind of turn your head, when you just have a quick glance, like you're checking your blind spot, and just out the corner of your eye, you see a flash of someone's helmet or the cart being there, and you know, roughly he's that far away from
me.
And also, you can kind of hear a bit the other engines through your helmet, just the presence of something
So pro,
so technical.
But anyway, so
you sell no money, one of those. Hear the engine, all relax, man.
So
racing,
So you kind of knew where you were and where your closest competitors were.
Very roughly. Then you just turn your head to have a quick glance.
Okay. I was just worried that you might feel pressured, and it's common to overdrive it, and sometimes you kind of overdo it. It's a common kind of thing, but you looks like you soaked up the pressure and kept your cool.
The overdriving and the kind of caving under pressure, making mistakes, that has happened to me before in the past. This time I was quite lucky that it didn't last long enough for it to become an issue. Okay. Because by the end of the first lap, I felt like there's no more of being bumped from behind. I turned my head, Julian's not there anymore. So as it turns out, one of the corners, he was trying to go for me, or he made a mistake, and the third place guy behind him caught up. So he tried to, either him or me, he tried to do something, and he half spun. He overcooked it. So from then on, he was stuck in third behind second place, who had a slower car. And that place being that tight, this was a low jack rave from motorist.sg, was in second place. Either his defense was very good, or Julian was maybe being a bit too polite and not wanting to go for the dive bomb. So you're stuck behind him for the rest of the race.
I see.
From there, I was just just concentrate on trying to set a lap time as I could.
So in your mind, while you're driving on a race, is your mind just blank and just aiming for, say, one corner to the next, or are you having a conversation in your head, or what do you do?
Really, it's just kind of, I don't really think actively. It's just kind of it's a bit little bit instinctive. I know that this guy is, if I'm defending against someone, then this corner is a right hander, he's faster than me on this place, so he's slower than me here, or did he make a mistake on the previous corner, what kind of distance we have between us. Then you'll position accordingly, whether I can take the normal line or whether I can go very defensive, or play a bit of other tricks in the middle of the corner to unsettle them. But once that is clear, and in the later half, and there was no one around, it was just like a qualifying session, just near the lines, near your braking zones.
Keep it clean,
don't slide the cart.
Well, as impressive as it was, unfortunately, you weren't the most impressive driver on the track at the time. You know who's the most impressive guy on the track?
David Koo?
No, the guy holding the phone with one hand videoing the walks at the track. Was driving an electric kart, right? And at will, he could just place himself anywhere around. He trailed John for a few laps, one hand steering the cart, one hand holding his mobile phone, his smartphone, videoing the in-car footage, as it were. He could go in front of him and then hold the camera behind his shoulder, take the following view, and then move around, and then move to the back of the pack. He started from the back of the then he was able to literally decide, pick and choose which cart he wanted to trail and all that. So by the end of the race, he had at least a one lap footage of every driver doing that thing. We have to ask Audi where that footage is and whether they release it or not, but I imagine it would be quite interesting.
I would like to see that, because I mean, you mentioned to me on the day that there was a guy there, right? I had zero idea at all. You know,
because his cart was an electric cart, so
you couldn't hear the engine and all that. But he was right behind you, man.
He was right behind you.
And I was a bit worried that you might have thought that this was actually a competitor and, you know, try to overdrive, trying to get away from him. But there's no way for me to, no pit boards, no radio.
Blissfully unaware.
Yeah. So I had no way, but I thought, like, okay, don't tell me he thinks maybe this is the second guy pushing him or hounding him and then make a mistake, you know what I mean? Yeah.
But the KF1 guys, the crew, when they get on the fun cuts, they are actually pretty quick.
Yeah. Home ground advantage.
Yeah, there were many times, like, when I go with my friends, then they would just turn up, they would just jump in a cart and join you and race.
Yeah.
But they were just... They will just play around with you.
It happened to me. I brought my son.
Yeah.
And then they also jump in and play. They were like, very low morale.
Yeah. You think you're doing quite well. Yeah. And then these guys just run circles around you.
And they make like 2 seconds off your time easily. And with someone who is in your group who's incredibly fast already to begin with,
they just
make a mockery out of you.
It's quite
tremendous. But when you drove on the expo track, did you get any two-wheel action at certain points? Because when I drove there, the track, somehow the cuts were very grippy. So when you corner, it's literally two-wheel.
I think they're too new,
a bit too
big, and the camber is not high enough to really unsettle it.
But I got it.
When did you go?
About 2-3 months ago.
Yeah, so I heard from some of the other guys who had been there before, they said that the cars were different. Either the cars or they changed the tires.
Because
the timings last time used to be a lot faster than we were doing that day.
Oh, I see.
So one of them said that the old tires were a lot grippier.
Yeah.
So that can explain your two-wheeling.
Yeah.
Mine, I didn't really get it. It was like, you're momentarily two-wheeling when you jump in the curbs, but that's about it.
Yeah, but it was tremendous. You corner, right? Then
the car
it just goes two wheels.
Yeah, but actually it's very uncomfortable, right, when you have that much grip.
Yeah, it is quite uncomfortable.
And I think for most of us, most of the media there, all of the media, because no one is really I'm probably the most regular carter, and even that's not very regular these days. I think everyone was quite physically punished by the carts, right?
In expo, I felt I was more physically punished.
Definitely,
it's quite tiring. Yeah,
I got blisters and all that.
Ooh.
Even with gloves.
And also, like, when I went there in the first session, I didn't know the first session was just a free practice and the time wasn't recorded. So I thought that was qualifying, and I was like going for it, and I'm like, okay lah, I did what I can, and there you go. Whatever it is, what it is, you know.
Shaggy.
Then they tell me, oh yeah, that's the first session, then just hang around, we're gonna start the qualifying next. And I thought, whoa, what are you talking about? And I thought, like, you know, I don't think I can do better, because I was quite proud of my last few laps that I got the hang of the track and all that kind of thing. And I remember passing people on the track, so I thought, like, okay, that's it, that's all I've got, and it's good, is it? Then now I'm tired already, then you tell me there's another qualifying session. I said, there's no way I can come even close to that. It's going to be only worse from here, you know. But lo and behold, I somehow found another 4 seconds and
4 seconds.
Yeah. So the first session, my best time was like 1:04 or whatever. And then 1:06, something. And then the qualifying session, I closed with 1:02.
Wow.
But, you know, there was still, I think, the first group of guys, there were a lot of them
were
1 minute. Yeah, around the 1 minute or even sub 1 minute as well. And I knew that, yeah, to get on the grid, you had to be in that league. I needed another 2 seconds off at least. Yeah.
I think you just would have given you a run for your money, John.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Next time we send in the podcast. I think. Yeah.
Because I went for the last year one.
Yeah.
Audis last year.
Yeah.
I think I got third. But I can't remember who was in.
Desmond was very good at last year's Audi, but he didn't do well this time around.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I see. I think he got first or second, right?
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah, last year he did very well. Then this year he was like mid table. So I was like, hey. Happen.
Yeah.
I imagine Julian and Darren did quite well last year also, right?
Those two were consistent.
But then I think Desmond and I gave Julian a run for his money.
But at the back of my mind, at that particular event, I was thinking,
John not here, that's
yeah,
why.
That's why. I think it would have been tremendous. I think we should podium.
I think a bit unfair for we everyone
close,
else.
We close the podium and we take everything. Podium. Okay, you all stay outside. We all go,
Alright.
Actually, we also did back when I was in Cup Meyer, we I think 2017 or 18 Porsche organized a 2.4 hours of
Le Mans
go-kart race with the Porsche Club Singapore.
Yeah.
So there were 12 teams, 12 sports. Mm-hmm. Two teams were reserved for media. Mm-hmm. So Julian, Darren, myself were in one of the teams. And prior to the event, Julian was very happy that I was with them at that point in time. Mm. Because prior years, the third member had been David Koo. So this was the first time I've been in a driving event with him, or racing event, and he was a lot faster than I was led to believe by like Julian and everyone else.
He's quite a good driver, right?
But then you also, I don't know how much is actually him, like if they all say he's slow, right? Like, as in his pace this time was like
make it to the race.
But so if his driving is as bad as they say, like in the past, right? Then even though this time David was following one of the marshals and showing him the lines and the breaking points on there, but if you're so as what people say, right, then you
can't probably, even follow the marshal.
Yeah, you won't be able to follow the marshal. So either he's not as bad as Julian never were exaggerating in the past, or they probably were because his pace this time was quite on point. Like about 1.00s. But yeah, so back to that Porsche one, right? So we were like one of the faster teams on I think there might have been a bit of nervous faces over at the front of the Porsche side. Like, hey, well, these are our esteemed owners.
Would they be nervous? What they wanted the customers to win.
I assume they will prefer it too, right?
Not really, but because media, you are...
It's not like you're by Porsche, right?
Yeah.
It's different. If you are an employee of Porsche, that's a different thing.
And media journalists, automotive journalists who drive cars every day for a living, nothing wrong or odd about that.
If I'm a Porsche exec, I would want at least the media not to be in last place. Then at least, doesn't seem so...
If the media cannot drive a go-kart, cannot drive fast, then how do you expect them to review car properly?
Exactly. That's why I like the fact that Audi is organizing this karting track day. I really like that. I think it's quite nice.
So do you like individual races or these endurance team events? Because in the past, I think VW also organized a team event where you had like 3 or 4 drivers in your team over however long it was, 15 laps, 20 laps, whatever it is. And then basically everyone has to compete in at least 1 or 2 laps. And then you decide amongst yourselves who's doing more or less, or driver change and that kind of thing.
I've never done an endurance. You've done it, right? I've never done endurance.
Check, right?
Yes, but you do it enough times. I mean, it depends on your own physical fitness. And also there's a
level. There's a technique as well, right?
Not so much, just physical. One is your own fitness level, and two is you drive the car enough times, your body will acclimatize. So the muscles that you need to use the most when you drive the car becomes used to that kind of strain. So you don't, even if you don't exercise, even if everything else stays the same, your fitness level, you just the more events you do, the more your body gets used to it, and the less tiring it becomes.
There was a time a long time ago,
Sentosa.
The Sentosa one, 3-4 hour car race.
And
car dealers like PML, they enter teams as well, big time. No? That was like you had like your own suite with a double story thing and hospitality suite and all that, 24 hours.
What year was it?
I want to say around 2000, the early 2000s.
Who organized it though?
This is basically the road that leads to Sentosa Cove, right? Before they had actually built houses there. So it was just nothing. So this road basically was the in road all the way, and then I think you made a U-turn and then it doubled back to itself and basically it was that. So you had some up and down as well, and it was a long, pretty long track. So so
I assume SMSA organized it, is it? That's the reason why everyone joined it.
There might be another sort of operator who just got all these cards together, and everyone had a good experience that first year. It rained as well during that 24-hour period, which added to the interest. And everyone was rearing to go, but then the next year never happened.
Oh.
Because probably Sentosa just didn't want to close that road anymore, and they started building homes on Sentosa Cove and that sort of thing, which was kind of a bit, kind of a pity lah. But it was a cool event,
24-hour kart races are a thing like in the UK. That's why UK is the leader in terms of motorsports, right? They've got their own British Universities Karting Championship. So all the unis sign up, and the season is like year long, and they have like 10, 15 rounds and kart tracks all over the country. And I had a friend there who went to the UK to study. I mean, he's one of the, he's damn fast here lah. It's like at my kind of pace, even though he's like 20 kilos heavier.
The humble brakes just don't stop.
Even though he's like damn fast guy, right, but he goes over there and he's like midfield at best.
Pravin?
No, Charles.
Oh, Charles.
So the competition is, I won here, but if you go elsewhere, right, it's really quite sobering, even across the border, even in Malaysia, right, those guys, like, the level that they are at is quite, a step beyond what we have here.
I think in any form of, whether it's a track day or kart or whatever it is, when you're on a track, right, there's always somebody faster than you. Mm. As long as you don't have the track by yourself. Yeah. I've always found that there's always somebody faster than you, no matter how fast you think you are that day. And that's humbling. Right? Yeah. And sometimes if you don't have it, you don't have it. And it's easy to overdrive yourself. Just because you see someone finish 3-4 seconds faster than you, and you try to follow the guy that lines, it ends up in tears. So you can improve, but up to a certain point, and that's that lah. But in the end, you still have to drive at your own pace and accept that maybe you're not the fastest guy that day lah.
And then I think just to close off, like, you know what happened to David, right? David Koo.
No, what happened to David?
He
finished early.
He ended early because he crashed.
DNF.
He did like 3 out of the 12 laps and he came in. On lap 2 or lap 3, someone spun in front of him. Then when he tried to avoid, he braked, the tail came around, and he basically T-boned the stationary cart. So after the event, he was like holding his side or in pain. So turns out he fractured his rib.
Oh, are you serious?
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
So wow. Okay.
But it can't be a bad fracture because he's like somewhere in Europe driving a Ferrari right now.
Okay. But there's not much you can do with a fractured rib other than let it heal on itself. There's no cast or whatever. It's just a long time and a bit painful when you cough or if you laugh or someone bumps you. It hurts.
But I feel the expo track can be quite dangerous if there is an incident.
Collision. There's no sort of way to run off.
And I feel the cuts don't do much better when you run off. The last time someone ran off in front of me, the wheel bounced across the and I had to avoid it because it's going quite quick.
But that's better than having your own wheel bouncing across in front of you.
Yeah, but I don't want to be hurt by a wheel flying across my helmet, right? But yeah, cool. That's that.
All right, so I think that rounds up our karting talk.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then,
looking forward to next year's one.
Okay, so car companies, if you're listening, we can't wait for the next kart challenge. Don't you rather wish you were somewhere else? You could be home, catching up on sleep, binging on Netflix, playing a round of golf, getting a massage, working out, working even in the office, or doing whatever you need to do rather than sending your car to the workshop. This is where Auto App comes in. You just download the app, pick a service you want, tell us what time and where you want us to pick up your car, and it's done. Don't just fix it, auto-app it.